Welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. We take life's most difficult questions, concerns, and challenges and turn them into manageable nuggets of information so that you can make the best decisions when you are planning for tomorrow. You can contact us at pftradio@gmail.com. You can check us out on Facebook, Planning for Tomorrow Radio, or if you're calling from the local listening area, 304-399-8255, or long distance, 877-420-8255. Well, good morning and welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen right here in Huntington, and Gene Dean here in the studio with us also. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, Fred. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, too. You doing okay?
I'm doing well, thank you. I love this cool weather, even though it's foggy outside, but that'll be gone pretty soon.
Absolutely. I was talking to someone yesterday, and they said, we're in July, and it feels like football weather already.
Yeah.
You kind of get that feeling, that early feeling of where we're heading.
I can take this all year round, believe me.
Absolutely. Gene, we've got a guest that is going to be on our show today, and we'll talk to him here in just a little bit. But before we do, I want to kind of talk about a few things here. I want to mention our website, the www.pftradio.com. That's pftradio.com. That's our website for the Planning for Tomorrow radio show. A lot of great information on there. Our podcast from our guest that's been on the show is on there. A lot of other things. But something else I want to mention, and I think when we had Charlene Farrell from Hospice with us a few weeks ago, we kind of touched on something like this briefly. But there is a link on the pftradio.com website now. It's on the very front page, and it's called Have a Talk of a Lifetime. There's a video there, and then there is also a link that you can click on, and you can download a free brochure. And it's about talking to your loved ones about how you want to be remembered. It's not talking about pre-planning. It's not talking about anything like that. It's just how to have that talk with how you want to be remembered at the end of life. And, you know, those are difficult talks sometimes.
Right. And that's one of the things that Charlene talked about, Charlene Farrell, when she was with us from
Absolutely.
Hospice.
So be sure and check that out. That's called Have a Talk of a Lifetime. That link is on the pftradio.com website. You can download the free brochure, and it's about how you want to be remembered and how to have that talk with your loved ones. When's the right time to have that talk? You know, because timing's everything. We say that a lot,
You know. Especially if you're on the air.
Absolutely. But today we have a guest with us from St. Louis, Missouri, and I want to kind of tell you a little bit about who we have on the show. We have Dan Heeman, and Dan has worked with older adults and senior citizens since 1991, Gene, and several fields, including the senior living and health care field, and also in funeral service. He's a certified funeral service practitioner and has received additional certification and training from Life Services Network and the Lutheran Senior Services. He has had published articles in trade journals and spoken to groups and continues to speak to groups regarding some of the most important issues facing older adults today. And as I said, Dan is from St. Louis, Missouri. Dan, are you with us?
I am, Fred. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Gene is here in the studio with us also, so glad to have you with us.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Gene.
I'm looking forward to our conversation because although Fred doesn't qualify for being a senior yet, they send AARP stuff to you when you turn 50, so that qualifies me to be a senior citizen.
I get to see Jean's stuff when she...
There you go.
And that's okay.
Yeah, really.
Well, there's a lot of there are a lot of things that we can talk about, but some of the things we wanted to talk about today, Dan, I appreciate you being on the show and sharing your insight, and hopefully we've got some things that we'll say that'll be very beneficial to a lot of people listening. But I want to talk to you about some of the things that you see as some simple rules or some barriers for senior citizens and people who's living alone. Can you kind of give us a little bit of insight as to your background and to where you want to go from there?
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, Fred, I've been working with older adults for, you know, over 20 years and have seen them in all stages of life, everything from perfect health to those facing health challenges, and then during my time in funeral service, obviously, helping their families transition to the next stage of their own lives. Mm-hmm. And one of the challenges that, you know, and one of the big questions is how, you know, senior citizens can, you know, stay safe and remain independent in their own homes as long as possible. And,
right.
There's a wide variety of thoughts and approaches, but you know, there's no blanket rule because, you know, everybody's life is situation is so unique. You know, you can't say, well, you must do this or you must do that.
Right.
You have to take each individual situation as its own, you know, unique set of circumstances.
Well, and I think you got to look at I think you've got to look at when they lose some type of things, when they have to move out of their home or when they have to, you know, maybe not drive anymore.
That's a tough one.
Those are tough ones, yeah. Those are things that, you know, that's freedoms, I guess we would consider to have, that are being taken away from us, and that would be tough, I would think.
And of course, West Virginia, I think, has the oldest population of any of the states in the Union, doesn't
right,
it?
Right, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Now, we've got a lot of seniors around here, Dan.
Yeah, well, the zip code I happen to live in here in St. Louis has more Social Security checks going to it than any other in the state of Missouri.
So, wow.
Really?
Yeah, we've got a graying population here, right here in my own neighborhood.
Then you know all about it because you've been working with seniors, I think you said, for 20 years. That's
Yes, ma'am, and it's not just on a professional level, too. It's on a personal level. You know, I have aging parents, my wife's parents are entering their 70s, and you know, fortunately, in my wife's case, they are healthy. They still live together, and no issues there on any sort of immediate front. But in my own situation, I have a mother who lives by herself. My parents are divorced, and she's beginning to, you know, have the beginnings of some serious physical challenges in situation. She falls, you know, consistently, which is such a dangerous thing, and it's probably my top concern, because a fall with a broken hip or a fall when there's, you know, if she's going downstairs, she falls downstairs away from a phone or something like that, you know, that's where really bad things can begin to happen, and that's, you know.
What are some things that people can do that we can do, Dan, to help our aging parents, or, you know, if we have aging parents, our grandparents? What are some things that we can do to kind of help them with this problem? Like you said, you know, I mean, mom falls and she's away from the phone, and she could, you know, that could be for hours. That could be tough. So what are some tips that you've got that we could do that would be helpful, that we can help those or identify some of those problems that when we need to step in and maybe.
You know, Fred, I had that experience because my mother lived with me for many years, and she had several falls. Fortunately, she never broke anything, but of course we went there during the day and she just had to lay there until we came home.
And that's the tough part, right?
Yeah.
There. I mean, is that time period of that? Are there some things that that we can do to get involved in?
Absolutely. Well, you know, the first step is to not get emotional about it. You have to be very practical when you look at the individual situation. And a lot of times this will come up after the death of a spouse, you know, for that senior citizen. You know, they lose a husband, and that can have serious physical consequences on their own body, the stress and strain of losing a loved one. So you have to try and remain cool-headed and look at the individual and say, okay, is you know, first and foremost, the residence, you know, is their residence the best possible option for them? You know, like in my mom's case, fortunately she lives in a ranch style home. She has a basement that she has to go down and do laundry, but she doesn't have to go up and downstairs for her bedroom or bathroom or anything like that. So minimizing the risk inside the home is really step one.
You know, obstacles and things like that. Too much furniture.
Throw rugs are like, you know, they're very popular with older adults to maintain their carpet's appearance so that, you know, the high traffic areas don't get worn down. But those can be some of the worst things for an adult to trip them up, even especially if they're using an assistive device like a walker or a cane, because those throw rugs will get bunched up underneath their feet and underneath the walker, and boom, over they go.
Wow.
And then, you know, again, steps are challenged. If somebody has balance issues, or, you know, if they've got bad knees and you know, are waiting to get them replaced for the obvious reasons, because that's something you really don't look forward to, you know, steps can be a challenge and a danger. Or if my mom, and I'm going to apologize in advance, I'm going through this with my mom, so I'm going to be referring to her a lot.
That's okay.
No, that's good.
But she is notorious for throwing her laundry down her steps, you know, like
at least she's not throwing it at you, Dan.
And, you know, and instead of actually walking him downstairs and putting him in the laundry basket, she just throws him down the steps, and then she'll pick him up when she goes down to do the next load of laundry. But she doesn't always make it all the way down the steps. So there's wet dish towels or you know, rags and things like that on the steps. Well, you know, a bare foot hits that wet rag, mm-hmm. and boom, down the steps.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
those they have to be educated, you know, what's wise choices to make. And you know, you don't want to belittle them. If they're fully in charge, their faculties, you know, they know these things. They just sometimes have to be reminded. And you can be very gentle. With me, I have to be a little bit more forceful, but I use it with humor, you know.
Yeah,
that's the best way to do it.
but then that also brings up the other topic. Sometimes you're facing a situation where the older adult has some challenges with, you know, maybe early dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And that opens up a whole nother situation. You know, is it something that can be, you know, helped with medication? Are they a danger to themselves? That's what it really boils down to. Yes, they may be getting forgetful, but it's if they're disoriented and forgetting to take their medication, forgetting to eat, you know, forgetting where they're at. You know, that's when, you know, more difficult decisions have to be made. But, you know, for today's conversation, I think we're going to focus more on how to remain safe in home. But part of remaining safe in home is making the tough decision and having the tough conversations of, are they still safe to stay at home?
Yeah.
One thing that we did, Dan, where you were talking about steps, is I think if you can possibly do it, it helps a lot, is to put in handrails against the stairs, because my mother would go up and down stairs quite a bit, and frankly, I kind of like having the handrails too. So I think that's something that can help if you do that.
Oh, absolutely. And there's even, you know, and granted you're talking about a significant investment, but there's even little portable lifts, you know, that you can
yes.
A chair that will, you know, electronically you sit down in and it takes you up to the top of the stairs with no risk. Again, a significant investment, but depending on the individual's financial situation and how badly they want to remain in their own home, you know, options like that are available.
Hey, Dan, we're going to take just a quick commercial break right here. And when we come back, I want to kind of delve back into what we're talking about, our subject matter here on senior care, and go there. You can stay with us, right?
Oh, absolutely. Be glad.
All right. You're listening to Super Talk, 94.1 FM and AM 930. And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. And our guest today is Dan Heeman. And Dan is talking to us about some senior things today, Jean.
That's right. And we always like to get calls from our listeners, Dan. And so I'm going to give out those numbers. They're 304-399-8255. Or the toll-free number is 1-877-420-8255.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen to that.
I had this horrible feeling I was giving out the wrong number, but that's correct.
You were giving the whole number out.
877-420-8255 if you're calling long distance.
Hey, Dan, you still with us?
I sure am, Fred.
When we went to break, we were talking about some things with our seniors, that parents, grandparents that are living at home, and some barriers and some things that can cause them problems, such as the throw rugs and handrails that we need and things like that. Talking about when the right timing is and how long they can, you know, should stay in their home. And do you think that maybe we was talking about freedoms a little while ago, and before we went to break. And do you think that is that one of those things that we need to try to make sure that we, that is a last result as far as moving, helping them, guiding them out of that home for them, because it is a loss of a freedom.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you lose a freedom, not for everyone, but sometimes when they lose that, they might lose a will to live.
Well, that's right. And I think many, many more people are wanting to stay in their own home, even if they have to have somebody to come in and help them perhaps on a daily basis. And it's becoming much more popular. Have you found that also, Dan?
I have. You know, I worked just a couple of years ago with a continuing care retirement community, and they offered everything from independent living, which was no real assistance, but just more of a maintenance-free, lower-stress lifestyle. They also offered an assisted living part of the community and a skilled nursing care. And statistics tell us that only about 5% of people choose to move into a community living situation like that. So, you know, that means 95% of people really prefer to stay in their own home.
Yeah.
And, you know, to some, and again, it goes back to what I was saying, it's such an individual thing. Like, to some people, their home is their everything. My mom is that way. She does not want to even entertain the notion of moving to a retirement community. And there's other people who go because they thrive on that social interaction and the more, you know, the higher level of attention they can get, even in an independent living situation, because they're still involved with other residents and the staff and things. But, yeah, Gene, you are correct. Most people, 95% approximately, prefer to stay in their own home.
Yeah.
But I think that's where pre-planning, and that's what we're all about, isn't it,
Fred? Absolutely.
Where pre-planning comes in, because years ago, my husband and I determined that we needed to be prepared, if we had to be able to live just on one floor. We have a two-story home, and so, you know, we made sure that we had a downstairs bedroom and bathroom and kitchen and everything that we needed.
I think that's good. I think that, and it goes back to what we were talking about planning. I mean, that's one of those things that we've got to kind of have a plan in place of, and we don't know. I mean, you know, something can happen with our health at any time, and it doesn't always matter what age we are when that happens. You
that's
know?
Right.
So
very correct.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, with regard to we've talked about some measures, some things that we could take as far as keeping them safe at home, keeping our family safe at home. But how important is things like their diet and making sure that, you know, that they're receiving the type of food, and how can we get involved with that also?
Well, it's a whole lot more important than I ever realized until I got into working in the senior living business. The diet, you know, the convenience of fast food and things like that make it very easy for an older adult to go through drive-thrus and things like that. So they always have a hot, high-fat meal, but that doesn't necessarily provide all their nutritional needs.
Right.
And what I have found, and it's not an uncommon thing, that malnutrition and dehydration are two big problems for older adults living independently, because those symptoms of malnutrition and dehydration are often confused as dementia, because the symptoms of malnutrition and dehydration are confusion, disorientation,
right. Things
like that. And they think they're eating okay, but they're not eating a balanced diet of, you know, protein, fats, carbohydrates. You know, you got to get away from the high salt, you know, higher fat meals. You know, again, not to keep harping on my mom, and thank God she doesn't listen to this radio station.
I'm going to send her the show, Dan.
Tomorrow when I have dinner at her house. She's a Taco Bell, you know, regular, and to her that's a meal, and I'm trying to tell her, Mom, you know, you need to eat better. In her argument, and it's a reasonable one. It's not easy, and it's not a whole lot of fun to cook for one.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, Dan, because I think that's when the nutrition or lack of nutrition comes into play, because people, especially women, think, well, what's the use of cooking just for me? Well, I'll tell you, what I do is I cook and I freeze.
Ah, there you go.
And then you've got lots of meals lined up as you just pull out of the freezer.
Again, proper planning.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I've told that to my mom. I said, you know, she goes, well, I don't want to cook just one chicken breast. I said, well, you know what, Mom? Cook three. You know, usually they come in packages of three in our grocery store. Cook three, put one in the refrigerator for a couple days later, throw one in the freezer that you can just pull out and microwave, and, you know, at a convenience. And with her, it's just the whole idea. To her, it's a little overwhelming to actually plan that far ahead. You know, she's more of a spur-of-the-moment type individual. You know, what do I have in the refrigerator that looks good? Nothing? Okay, well, hop in the car and I'll
Yeah.
It's easier for a woman, isn't it? I mean, for a man living alone, maybe he's never cooked in his life.
Hey, now.
Well, have you ever cooked,
Fred?
No, but
the same age. We're our wives are more career oriented than earlier generations have been.
Yeah.
And, you know, my dad, and, you know, he's remarried, and his wife does all the cooking. My dad would starve if he was dependent on his own cooking, not only just for the actual physical act of cooking, but for the quality of what he might cook. And, you know, he would probably say, blah, I think I'll just skip it, you know.
Yeah.
So the generational differences do come into play there, that the older generations aren't skilled in cooking, and that's one thing. One of the funeral homes that I worked at, we offered a seminar one time for seniors to come in, and we called it Cooking for One, and we had a chef coming in and showing how easy it was to prepare a tasty meal without A, spending a lot of money, B, you know, spending 2 hours in the kitchen chopping, prepping, cooking, and taking all the fun out of it. It doesn't take a lot. It's just learn, you know, finding those resources, getting the recipes down, and motivating yourself to do it.
I wonder if there's a cookbook out there, Cooking for One. If not, Fred, we should write
one. Yeah, we should write that. The two of us should write that. The two of us, Cooking for One.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you mentioned something there that I thought was interesting, talking about the people thinking that maybe there is dementia. And I could see how that would be if there is dehydration and things like that, because that would be the first fear probably that people were going to look at is, oh my gosh, you know, mom's got dementia or she's got Alzheimer's or something like that is starting to kick into play, when in fact it's just a diet issue, you know.
Yeah. Is it true, Dan, that what you eat can actually have an effect upon your mental capacity and you know, your thinking and your memory? I've heard that it is.
Absolutely. If there's food allergies present, or if there's, you know, just poorly constructed meals and going for convenience rather than nutrition, that's, you know, where an evaluation needs to be done. You know, before you make a knee-jerk reaction and start looking for assisted living or nursing home situations, you know, get in touch with a family doctor and have the individual checked out. The doctor can check through, you know, different tests, you know, to seeing what their electrolyte levels are and things like that, to make sure that they are properly hydrated and proper nutrition, and that can make a world of difference.
That's good information, Dan.
Yeah, really.
We're going to take another break, and you can stay with us the rest of the show, right?
Be happy to.
All right.
Good. I've got lots more questions.
All right. Our guest today is Dan Heeman, and we're talking about some senior things that's helpful to our seniors. And you're listening to Planning for Tomorrow on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930. And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen and Gene Dean here in the studios here in Huntington, West Virginia. And our guest today, Gene, has been and is Dan Heeman.
Dan's still with us.
Yes, ma'am.
Good deal. We left from break, Dan. We were talking about a lot of things. We were talking about mainly proper diet and things like that.
How important that is.
How important that is. I think that's really good. Did you have something you wanted to...
Well, I was wondering if Dan was going to get into a kind of a warning situation about some of the things that they're scams is what they are. You know, you get a telephone call from somebody who wants to offer them something totally free of charge and this, that, and the other. And it's so easy to believe. Have you experienced things like that, Dan, with some of the seniors you've been working with?
I have. And it's sad to say, but the threats today are more than they ever have been, because they're coming at seniors, on multiple fronts now. And it's not just the contractor knocking on your door with a super low price for a room addition, or the phone call, like you said, Gene, hey, we've got a totally free vacation for you, or, now there's that whole online element of there's some that are pretty easy to call out. You get those emails. I am representing the estate of a distant relative of yours in Nigeria. Well,
right.
I mean, come
I've
on.
Got those.
Let's use a little bit of common sense. They wouldn't be contacting you by email. They'd probably be contacting you by some sort of certified registered letter, you know.
Right.
But all we need is your credit card to pay the shipping cost of the giant package of cash, and it's
absolutely
all yours, But, you know, it's even a little bit more insidious now, and I just saw on the AARP website that, you know, the scammers are getting craftier now, and with online presences with things like Facebook and Twitter, a really dedicated, you know, criminal can find out, you know,
a lot of
your
information.
Grandchildren's names and call or email posing as your grandchild saying, hey, I'm on this trip. My car broke down. Can you send me money? You know, that shocked me. But I guess it you look at Facebook and how much personal information is being shared out there, mm-hmm. it really isn't that much of a surprise.
Well, you mentioned, too, one thing that it always concerns me. I mean, even now, I'm very, very careful about opening my door to somebody that I don't recognize
Absolutely.
And don't know. And I think having a chain on your door so mm-hmm. that you can open it a little bit and look and see.
And a shotgun on the inside.
Yeah. Or a very large dog.
Yeah, or a very large dog. That's
dog
right.
would do it.
In that vein, Gina, I'm glad you mentioned that, because this happened to my wife's grandmother just in the past year, where somebody came, you know, knocked on the door and were wanting to give her a bid on trimming her trees.
Mm.
She made the mistake of stepping outside with the guy, and he had an accomplice with him.
Mm-hmm. Oh dear!
And the guy doing all the fast talking took my wife's grandmother around the side of her house to look at these trees, while the accomplice went in the open unlocked door and started rifling through her personal belongings. And I think my wife's grandmother got a sense that what she was doing was not safe, so she started back to the house, and she opens up the door, and the guy comes running out, and they both jump in the pickup truck and take off.
Mm. Oh, dear.
Well, fortunately, she can't find that they actually stole anything. And she's very, clever about securing her valuables and things, but that is a scary thing that somebody has unfettered access to a house, and this is not unique to St. Louis. This is happening, this can happen anywhere.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
I was looking through the National Council on Aging, and there's a lot of scams that they list there. That would be a good website. It talks about the top 10 scams that affect our seniors. You know, you mentioned something here about the shrubs and these
tree
fellows
trimming,
here. I want to mention this. It was just yesterday, myself and Mr. Henson at Henson Mortuary, we were talking, and we were talking about some things that affect widows and widowers and things like that. And we was talking about what we hear a lot in our vein of what we do, but sometimes when the husband will pass away, one of the first things you hear a widow say is, well, you'll say, a year later, how you doing? Are things okay? Well, we had to put a new roof on the house, and I had to have this done, and I had to have that. And they start having all these repairs that all of a sudden seems to need to be done. And I think a lot of times they're being targeted by contractors. And not all contractors, not everybody in every profession is bad. But there are those people out there that really aren't contractors. They're scammers. And they're out to just try to take people.
I've heard that people even read obituary notices to find out, if a husband's died or even if a wife has mm-hmm. died, and then they know that there's somebody out there that maybe they can scam.
Absolutely.
Well, and that brings up another good point, Gene, that and Fred, you know this, that, people do read obituaries, and there is a necessity even I'm not sure about your area, what the crime rate is, but in St. Louis, there were thieves targeting, breaking in houses during funerals. Mm-hmm. So it's important to even secure the home during the visitation and the day of the funeral. I hadn't planned on talking about it, but I'm glad you brought it up, because it has happened, and I have personal knowledge of families that I had worked with that had their home robbed, burglarized during the funeral or visitation.
And usually, if you contact your local police department and let them know the time of visitation and funeral and that, they will make a point to drive by check on your house.
That's good information.
Absolutely, and you also have a lot of friends that are offering to do things. Well, you know what? That's a perfectly legitimate thing to ask a friend to do. Can you house sit for us?
Yeah.
While these services are going
right.
on, and it gives them something, it gives them a sense of purpose, it gives you peace of mind, it accomplishes everything you want.
That's a very good idea, because people always want to help, they want to do something to help you, and that's a good thing to ask them to do.
What are some other scams, Dan, that you see that's affecting? I mean, I think the one with the funeral and the visitation, Gene, I think mm-hmm. you brought up something that was very helpful right there that, I wasn't even completely aware of, that, we could call our police department and have them mm-hmm. to give them the times and have them to maybe pass back and forth by our house. But I think having someone, like Dan mentioned, to actually kind of house sit for us.
Sit in the house,
I think that's mm-hmm. that's the best avenue there. But what are some other things, Dan, that we can help our seniors to prepare against these scams?
Well, one thing, if you are having, you may have legitimate needs of, work to be done around your house. My poor mom, I'm picking on her again, but it happens. It's the truth. I'm not just creating these things, but, and for her, it was, It was not a huge deal, but I mean, it was a significant loss to her. She had needed to have a tree taken down, and she gets a bid of $900 to have the tree cut down, which is about an average cost in this area for that. And I thought, okay, she ran the cost by me first before she agreed to it. I thought, oh, good, she's using her brain. She called and asked my opinion. Well, afterwards, she tells me rather sheepishly, she says, yeah, the guy told me, when he got the tree about half cut down, that he was going to need another $300 because it was a bigger job than he needed. And I said, well, you didn't give it to him, did you? And she just wouldn't look me in the eye. I'm like, I said, that's where a senior can't be afraid to reach out to her kids or a friend to step in and act as an advocate on their behalf. Mm-hmm. I would have come in and I would have read the guy the riot act.
Absolutely.
$900, you can see the tree. Don't give me this baloney that it's a bigger job than you thought. Because if it is, then it's on you. You gave us an estimate of $900. That's what I expect you to say.
Well, and we're living in a day and age where years ago we could do a lot of things on handshake and we can do a lot of things with integrity and honesty. And today you almost have to have a written contract.
You almost feel like saying don't trust anybody.
Yeah, you hate to say that, but, I mean, you really have to protect yourself at all times.
Yeah.
You do. You do. And, it is a sad state that it has come to that. You have to protect yourself at all costs, and if you have concerns, don't agree to it. Get somebody, get a family member, get a trusted friend, or whoever you have at your disposal that you have trust in, to act on your behalf and act as an advocate to be there when bids are given and when final payment is being made, because those are the touch points. And I'm not to say that this guy is the guy who cut my mom's tree down is chronically dishonest, but economy is difficult these days. Times are tough, and the temptation to inflate or things like that are out there, and it might make a normally honest contractor or service provider do things they wouldn't normally do. But having a third party involved helps keep everybody honest and everybody in a good place.
And I'll tell you something about myself, Dan, and that is that I know nothing, absolutely nothing, about cars.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my sons loves cars and knows all about them. I think the one thing I learned was finally how to put gas in the car. But, so, I mean, that's just an example. If I feel there's something that needs to be done with my car, then I ask my son about it, and he can advise me what to do. And I think that applies to a lot of things.
It does. I think it does. I think you've got to get people involved, don't you, Dan, that has some knowledge. I mean, you may have a neighbor down the street or across the street from you that maybe has experience in this, a male neighbor or whatever, but that may have experience with automobiles or something, and say, hey, I've got this happening. Would you help me go to the mechanic and take a look at this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because what's going to happen is you're probably going to find that not all, it's like I said, in every industry, I don't care what it is, in every profession, there's going to be some that, I like the term you used, that may be chronically dishonest. And I wonder if that's something, when you're chronically dishonest, if it's something a doctor can, analyze and tell.
See it coming.
But, I mean, I think you've got to surround yourself by people that know, that are in the know, to keep yourself protected, and I think it's the best thing you can do.
I think people like to be asked to help. I mean, I've never been turned down when I've asked somebody to do something or help me with something.
No. People want, they want to be involved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if to even check in with your funeral home, because around here, it's not a scam, but it's not good, honest business practices. After a funeral, a lot of the monument companies around here send statements to families that are disguised as a bill. But what they're really doing is they're offering a bid to put the inscriptions on the headstones and things like that. But the families, it looks like a bill, and some people pay it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll call me or call the funeral home and say, well, I thought I took care of this with you. It's like, ma'am, you did. She says, well, why am I getting a bill from XYZ Monument? And it's like, you shouldn't be.
It's again, they're looking at the obituaries.
It's so important to read the fine print. And
it is.
Yeah. I'm the world's worst to skim things, and I'm sure other people do too. But
and if you get documents like that in the mail, go to someone you trust. I mean, like you said, go to your funeral director, go to your attorney, go to your neighbor. Mm-hmm. Have someone else to look at that. Your minister.
Yeah.
You know, someone that you trust. Have them look at this and just say, hey, look, I got this in the mail, and I'm not really sure. My husband took care of everything, or my wife took care of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I need some guidance on this. Is this a real, you know, what is this?
Right.
And get some idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a great, great advice, Fred.
Hey, Dan, we're going to take another quick break right here, and then we'll come right back. You're listening to Planning for Tomorrow on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930. And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen and Gene Dean here in the studio with you. And our guest today is Dan Heeman, and we've been talking about some things that's very helpful to our seniors. But Gene, I want to again make a quick mention here of our website at pftradio.com. That website has been a really good resource for a lot of people in the tri-state area. We've got 150,000 hits now on that website. It's pretty incredible. So, I mean, we're excited about that. In 2 years' time, we're pretty excited about that. But that tells us that we're giving out some good information to people and people are utilizing it.
Yeah.
What I want to mention also is the Have a Talk of a Lifetime. There is a video on the very front page of the pftradio.com website. And you can click that video, and it's going to tell you a little bit about what Have a Talk of a Lifetime is about. It's about having that talk with your family members about how you want to be remembered.
Yeah.
And then there's another link right above that that you can click, and you can get a free brochure. It tells a little bit when to have that talk, what about the timing and things like that. And then, of course, there's information there. It talks about our five wishes document that we make available.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, from the Resource Center there at Henson Mortuary. So those are available. There's a ton of information on there, as well as all of our podcasts, the shows. And what I want to also make mention is a lot of this information that we're talking about today. Today's show will be podcast on the website also, so if you want to re-listen to that or download that on your computer, you can definitely do that. But also, I will get with Dan, and we will get some maybe additional resources that we can place on the website that will be helpful regarding seniors. Does that sound good, Dan?
Sounds great, Fred.
Gene, when we left, there were some things that you wanted to kind of talk
to Dan
about.
Well, you know, there is one thing that I think is so important for seniors. Well, it's probably important for a person of any age, but especially for seniors and especially for those who live alone. I'm talking about socializing, Dan. Don't you think that's something that's really, really important?
It is. You know, it's mainly, its benefit is maintaining that network of connections that, you know, today's families aren't like families of old where everybody lived in the same city, if not the same neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Today's families are scattered all across the country, if not the world. And, you know, if a person only has one or two kids and those kids don't happen to live locally, and once a spouse passes away or some sort of relationship separation, that person is literally on their own. And maintaining that socializing, that network of friends and contacts not only keeps them mentally healthier and physically healthier, I mean, there's tangible physical benefits to being in the presence of friends. I mean, blood pressure goes down, feeling good hormones go up. I mean, it's an amazing effect it can have on the body. But it's also knowing that somebody's out there to check on you, and I'll give you an example that happened very close to home very recently. One of the part-timers at the funeral home that I work at has, and I don't ask me why she has this schedule, but she has a standing 5:30 a.m. appointment with her hairdresser.
Wow.
5:30?
That's up early.
Yes, I know. I'm lucky to be having a cup of coffee by the time I'm at 5:30, much less being in any situation to deal with other human beings.
She's dedicated.
Yes, she is. But this past Tuesday, she did not show up for her 5:30 hair appointment, and which is very unusual. She's very punctual, very reliable. So the hairdresser called the house, got no answer, happened to know that this particular lady has no children. She was never married, but she has a nephew. She was able to reach out to the nephew. The nephew went by and checked on her and found the person at home in bed, unresponsive.
Oh, dear.
Now, they're still sorting out her medical conditions. Initially, they thought a stroke, but now they're looking at something else. But that's immaterial. The point is, that there was a check in the system,
mm-hmm.
that had it not been there, that woman could very well be
yeah.
dead right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
So maintaining those social connections means you're looking out for each other,
mm-hmm.
Checking on each other. And if you haven't heard from somebody in a day or two, reach out and call, because you just never know what's going on in that
That's
person's
great.
Life.
Yeah. Great point.
I always tell my family, don't worry about me, because if I don't turn up to be on the air at 9 o'clock, Ernie's going to be looking for me.
That's right. He will send out the troops.
That's right.
Hey, you know, Dan, let's talk a little bit about, I wanted to get into this, a short bit of time we have left, but I want to talk about how to protect our seniors, how to protect themselves in emergencies, and kind of talk about that. And tell me what the 3-day rule for emergencies are, because we're kind of talking about that, kind of moving into it with talking about your coworker there that had the problem and socializing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, the 3-day rule is this, is that depending on the size and scope of the situation, it's going to take about 72 hours for all the responding authorities, federal, state, local governments, and community groups to kind of get their act together to get responses back up to snuff. So, you know, the example that's easy, I don't think it affected you, but it was north of you, was Superstorm Sandy. You know?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Saw that coming, but that is something that really, you know, affected millions of people's lives. And,
yes.
you know, that was a gigantic, you know, very unusual event, but a smaller, more local level that, you know, a bad storm in your area. I don't know, are you subject to hurricanes over there in West Virginia? Or
no, we're really
kind of?
Not, but
no.
Last summer we did experience a derecho here, and a really, really bad storm.
It's very unusual
yeah.
weather for us.
Mm-hmm. No electricity.
Right. Well, like where I live, we have tornadoes,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, and those can, you know, it almost wiped the city of Joplin off the face of the earth.
That's
yeah.
right.
Missouri a year ago. But, I mean, just depending on what area you live in, there are weather hazards, and a serious weather event can keep, like I said, you know, food and services or power grids down for at least 72 hours and possibly longer, just depending on
yeah.
the size of it. So what I say, or what is recommended, is that, you know, keeping 3 days worth of food and water handy just in case, you know, it's because you just never know.
Right.
That's exactly true. What we experience mostly in this area is flooding, and
mm-hmm.
of course that has the same effect. You know, you cannot get out of your house
mm-hmm.
perhaps, or you may need to be even rescued from your house if the flooding is really bad. So having some kind of a plan, I think, is essential.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Having, you know, a secondary location to relocate to, you need to plan on for a couple of things. You need to plan on what they call sheltering in place
mm-hmm.
in your own home, having food, water, medical, you know, your medicines, your prescriptions, having resources available for you to sit tight and just kind of wait it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or if your plan B, okay, my home is damaged or it's being threatened by rising floodwaters, whatever, where is my next step? Have that in place before it happens, because and there's evidence of this happening almost every single type of weather-related emergency. People who are not planned panic.
Yeah.
And what
mm-hmm.
you don't want to do is be fighting a crowd of panicked people for food or water or to get out of town. You want to get out of town before the people who haven't prepared and are panicking are on the roads, because
exactly.
it's just going to lead nowhere
mm-hmm.
good.
Yeah. It was said, Dan, that in a recent plane crash, people were coming down the chutes, but there were some people who were so anxious to take their carry-on luggage with them, they stopped to get the luggage. And I think the lesson we learned from that is, if there's something that is really of prime importance to you, maybe a piece of jewelry or something, have it ready to go somewhere where
Absolutely.
You can just pick it up. But don't go back and get something. I mean,
mm-hmm.
those are things that can be replaced. Your life cannot.
Absolutely.
Prioritizing what is the most important.
Yeah.
You know, first, your own life is the very most important thing you need to protect.
Yeah.
And then second, you know, if you have pets, you know, and this is for someone living by themselves without
mm-hmm.
someone
sure.
else, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you have pets, you definitely want to take care of your pets. Mementos should be a distant third.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
then by the time you're getting yourself what you need and your pet, or your pet and what they need, it's time to go.
Yeah.
And even
and
you.
Photo albums
yeah.
and things like that.
Yeah.
I know you want them. I know they're irreplaceable, but they're not worth risking
your life.
Right.
No.
And even you, the person, are more important than your pet. I hate to say that. Yeah. People will hate me for saying that, but, you know, try and rescue your pet. But if it's you or the pet, then you're the most important.
Yeah, the pet has to go. It's brutal. I hate to sound cold-blooded, but human life before animal life.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah.
What are some simple, inexpensive things and some steps that people can do to be better prepared, Dan?
Well, you know, like I mentioned about keeping 3 days of food and water, you can go to a dollar store, and for $20 or less, you can have 3 days of water, because you know, the dollar stores here, they sell gallon jugs of spring water for a dollar apiece, and getting easy, no cook, no refrigeration type foods, because the power grid's down, and you have an electric refrigerator, electric stove. You're not going to be able to cook.
Right.
So, you know, getting a supply of foods that don't have to be heated, like, you know, the example I use is Dinty Moore beef stew. you know, okay, is it the healthiest thing for you? No. But will it keep you alive until the power comes on?
Yeah.
Absolutely. does it taste terrible cold? I wish I wasn't speaking from personal experience, but I have eaten cold. It's not all that bad. You know. But things like that, and a very important thing before I forget, make sure you don't have an electric can opener. Make sure you have a manual can opener.
Manual can opener, yeah, exactly.
The world aren't going to do any good if you don't have stuff though.
Hey, Dan, we are out of time. We sure appreciate you being our guest today on the show.
It's been very interesting.
It's always been a pleasure to meet you and talk with you, ma'am.
Thank you. Yeah.
Today, our guest on Planning for Tomorrow has been Dan Heeman, and he been talking about seniors and a lot of things, Gene, that is helpful to our seniors, hopefully.
Absolutely.
Being prepared and being able to live alone and live a good and healthy life.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us, Dan. It's been good to speak with you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Thank you
very much. Again, we want to make mention of the PFTRadio.com website, the resources at the Resource Center at Henson Mortuary. Those are all available. And the Have a Talk of a Lifetime. Be sure and check that out. You've been listening to Planning for Tomorrow on Super Talk, 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRVC Huntington, a Kindred Communications station celebrating 20 years of local broadcasting.